Welcome back to Success Made to Last. This is our Entertainers Edition. When you look back on the history of Hollywood, there are so many famous sisters. The Redgraves, the Lennon sisters, the fictitious sisters from White Christmas, Olivia de Havilland, Joan Crawford. But there are only two sisters like Veronica and Angela Cartwright. Welcome back to our show, ladies.
Thank you for having us. Hi.
Well, tell us a little bit about your backstory.
Well, we actually came to California when Angie was 3 and a half. We had left England, a couple of years before that. But basically, when we came down to California, yes, I was 6 and a half and Angela was 3 and a half. And it was a Lillimore agency. And Angela got her first job that she ever went on.
But, you know, we didn't come to America in search of becoming showbiz. I mean, our family is not a showbiz family. My dad loved to sing, and, you know, that was about the extent of it. They came to, you know, find a better life. They came from England to California to America to live by the sea because my mom had this idea that, you know, the sea was so much better in California, I guess, than the English, British sea. And so it was a dream, really, that brought them here. And then we just kind of fell into show business, and it's continued forevermore.
And you made such an indelible mark. Hey, Margaret Mead once said that sisters are probably the most competitive relationship within the family, but once the sisters are grown, it becomes the strongest relationship. Is that true?
Well, we've always been pretty close, and I think if you can get over any sort of petty jealousies that one might have, which I don't really remember either one of us having, and you can just sort of work on a relationship, which, we talk to each other every day. We always discuss things. I mean, big moments in our lives are always discussed, and if you're inclined to go that way, I think, yes, you do. It's a relationship that is entirely different from any other friendship.
I think it's all the history that you might have in your past. You know, you grew up together. You know what the baggage is. You know the parents. And so that kind of relationship is different than just a friend relationship. But I think sisters have to work, as brothers do, on communicating. It's all about communicating with each other. You can let family relationships go because of stupid stuff, and you just have to get past it. It's like, get over it already, you know? Everybody's got their issues. But if you talk and you can get through it and respect the other person's opinion, even though yours may be correct, just get over it and move on.
I mean, because you are individuals, but, you know, it's true. You do have a history there, and that history is one of the things that sort of gives you the backbone to your relationship. But, you know, you hear all the time of brothers and sisters who don't talk to each other, and then out of the woodwork when, you know, somebody passes on, I want this. And you wonder, well, where the hell have these people been? I mean, it's like, what rock did they crawl out from under? But we've been really lucky. We've always, we lived next door to each other at one point for 13 years. So even when I lived in New York and Angela lived out here, we always communicated. I mean, that's an important thing, I think.
Well, that's true. And that's interesting. You know, you were saying about, yeah, you can be friends, but the interesting thing about being sisters or in a family relationship is that you are together as you're growing up. So whether you like each other, whether y'all are complete individuals, you do have to figure out a way to be in the same family together, because that is true. You can be totally different individuals, and your sister may not have been your friend that you would have chosen at school, but you have to realize that they really are that special person within the family.
Sometimes I think people don't want to put the time in. It's just, there's just too much energy that they just don't want to put it in. And,
yeah.
You know, relationships take time. They take energy. And
right.
I think it's, you know, if Veronica says to me, you know, well, I don't think that's right. And, you know, I want to do it this way, or I believe this is right. You know, I can give her my opinion, but believe me, she's going to damn well do what she thinks is right for her, and I just have to respect that. I may not think it's the correct thing or correct choice to make, but I'll put in my 2 cents. When it comes down to it, we're all responsible for our choices and our decisions, and we can't control people, and nor should we want to.
That's right.
That's my opinion. I feel like I'm up here on the pulpit. Telling y'all.
I know that my wife and her sister, Nancy, shared a very small bedroom. Did the two of you share a small room?
We did in the very beginning.
We had a Jack and Jill room. Do you guys remember what those were in the 60s?
Daughters had that, where you had 2 separate bedrooms, but you shared a bathroom. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, there was like a
partition
that went between the two.
And mine was blue, and Angela's was pink ballerinas. And,
yeah,
and we had
put the ballerinas in there.
I know, I'm sorry. Mine were blue tutu ballerinas. And we had that French provincial furniture with gold trim.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, with the blue, and Angela had the pink.
That's right. It was white furniture with the trim on it. I mean, totally funky today. I mean, if you could repaint it and funk it up with some chipped white paint, you know? Wonder what ever happened.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, at that time, it was, oh, and we had canopy beds.
Canopy beds, yes, we did. We had canopy beds. But then, you know, later on when we moved to Toluca Lake, we actually got separate bedrooms. And Angela opted to go, what color?
Pink and orange.
A hot pink and orange. And I went avocado green, because olive green. And my mother said, oh, it's such a horrible color. How could you possibly live with that color? Because all I wanted was an avocado-y.
And you wore avocado color all the time. You always wore olive. You had olive shoes. You were like one big avocado sitting in your room. You couldn't even see her because she was all one color. She always wore avocado. That was like her color. And our mom not like the color green.
No, she doesn't. She says you have blue eyes. Yes. Why do you have to have that horrible green color on?
But, oh, my
God. Well, the first green thing I got, actually, was when I was 16, and I'd gotten some money, and I went out, and that's when I bought an olive green dress. Oh, God.
It's a green color. But, I mean, in those days, you know, hot pink and orange. Now, there was, you know, an Austin Powers moment.
Well, I did get an orange. I did get an orange bedspread with my avocado, and I had white wicker. And I actually did remember the Andy Warhol, the soup cans. I actually had a poster of soup cans or something ridiculous.
That wasn't ridiculous. That was on the pulse of the art world. I mean, I was really into Peter Max. I'll never forget the first apartment I had. I got an entire wall, a mural of Peter Max's with the, it was kind of yellow submarine, you know, with flowers and the, you know, the two people and the entire, oh, I thought I was so groovy.
Oh, dear.
These are memories. We're going to have memory lane here. You guys are awfully quiet.
We're listening to y'all. You sound like you're having...
We're finding this quite entertaining.
There was a quote from Pam Brown that goes like this. Sisters never quite forget each other, especially when they were 5. Were there any children's secrets that you kept from your mom and dad that they probably never heard about?
Oh, dear. I don't know. Well, I always wanted to have... I was a real tomboy. I would wear jeans, and I wanted a gun. I remember wanting a cowgirl gun and jeans and stuff so I could do that. And then Mom, for Christmas, I got an Annie Oakley skirt with the plastic fringe on it, and I was so distressed. because I didn't want a girl skirt. I wanted, you know, the pants. I wanted a pair of chaps with my guns. I mean, and we used to play horses all the time.
All the time.
Angela was the horse, and I ran the barn. And we would set up jumps made out of redwood benches and stuff, because they had this redwood furniture. And then she would have to go over the jumps and then trot or canter or do whatever it was. And she slipped one day and skinned her entire face on the edge of the redwood chair.
And I was doing the Danny Thomas show at the time.
Oh, my God.
And when I showed up and I had, like, this big, you know, cut on my chin, which I still have a scar from today, if you look. And they decided they'd write it into the script that they didn't know whether to say I was shaving or trying to shave, but they decided to just write it in the script somehow, and I can't remember how they decided to do it. But, you know, when you're on a series and all of a sudden your face is skinned up because you're playing horse corral.
Oh, I got in so much trouble for that. What were you thinking?
Well, you were the oldest. The oldest always gets in trouble. See, I think that I'm the middle kid, and we have a younger brother, way younger brother. But I think that the oldest always gets the worst rap because they're the first kid, you know, and the mistakes are made on that kid. Then the next one comes along, and you kind of loosen up a little bit, you know, as parents. You know what's going to work, what's not going to work. So I do think that the firstborn kind of gets the
shaft.
Not the
thing.
No. Just it's a bit, you know, tougher, I think. And I think it also makes, if you've got a first child and they're stubborn, like Veronica was, it's challenging.
Well, wow, and there you have it.
Well, let me take a few minutes to tell our listening audience about Angela Cartwright's great books. One of our favorites is Mixed Emulsions, that's available on Amazon.com. Angela, what are some of the other books that you'd like to mention here on the air today?
Well, I have In This Garden and In This House, which was a mixed media project. I co-wrote them with Sarah Fishburne, a fellow artist. And if you're into altered art or, you know, altering art in any way, these books are real great inspirations, I believe, of how to express your artful look at home or garden.
And wasn't it 26 different artists from across the country that all sort of...
Right. Well, each book, 12 artists for In This Garden, they interpreted the word garden. And In This House, they interpreted the word house. And then Mixed Emulsions, you know, I take photographs, I hand color them, and I do different things with them. And I'm working on a clothing line, acstudio9.com, that's my hand-painted photography. I do work for that. And I'm trying to get Veronica to write a friggin' cookbook because she is such a great cook. It's like, you know, she's stubborn. I'm telling her, write these recipes down. I'll put it together in a book, and we'll sell the book because she's a really good cook.
And we're promoting it right here on Success Made to Last.
And promote it? Okay, I must say, the last couple of things I've done were pretty fabulous.
Yes, and I was invited, so I got the good end of it, you know? I'm sitting here going, man, people would kill for this kind of combination of recipes. And some old English ones and, you know, things that are doable and not, you know, like 10,000 ingredients. So I'm trying to push Veronica to do that.
That sounds good. And it's interesting just hearing both of y'all talk. Y'all appear to really hold each other up and encourage each other.
Well, we try. I mean...
We do.
We look out. We have each other's back, that's for sure.
That's good.
I think that's a real gift, to be able to have a brother or sister. There's no relationship like it. And to, you know, be in each other's court and support that person. I think that's really a cool thing. We're lucky.
And whenever, you know, I have an interview or something like that, and they send you the sides, and you have to, I always come over here, and Angela goes over stuff with me, you know, and gives me little pointers and tips, or, you know, did you think about this? And it always adds a different perspective to it.
Because the happy working Veronica is a good person. You want Veronica to be working. It makes her a happy person. So I want her to get the job.
Our next question comes from our listening audience. Here's a caller who wants to know, when you look back on your respective careers, are there any parts that you regret not taking?
No, we've never been that lucky to be in that position. Well, gee, I just don't know. I mean, there aren't any parts that I've regretted not taking. I've done some that I wish I hadn't done, but there aren't any that I have turned down and said, no, I'm not going to do this, and then something, you know, great has happened. Because I think everything happens for a reason. Mm-hmm. You know, you're up for these things, and you think, wow, that went really well, and then you don't end up getting it. And, I mean, I think the biggest thing to learn in this business anymore is patience. I mean,
patience is a virtue.
Oh, my God. It's horrible. Because sometimes it can be so you know, hurtful in a weird sort of way.
But you have to have a thick skin if you're going to go into acting, you know. You can't take everything personally. You might not get a job because you look like the producer's ex-wife or something. I mean, it's ludicrous. There's no, you know, rhyme or reason. You may have done a great reading and a great job, and, you know, you just don't get the part. And that's what it's all about. You have to have a thick skin. But sometimes you gotta remind your sibling of that.
And that's a nice bridge to the following. Can you provide a commentary on the importance of leading your siblings with career advice?
Well, see, like Angela was saying, you should do this cookbook. Well, you're not working on anything right now. Now is the perfect opportunity to fill your life with something else. It's like I have a design business, you know, and so I like to go in and do that. But, you know, all those jobs are always there due to the economy and stuff like that. So
I think you can encourage a sibling without enabling them to wallow in their, you know, whatever's going on in their life that's not positive. You know, I think siblings should be encouraging and positive for, you know, the other one that's maybe not having such a great time right now. And listening is really important because sometimes you don't have anybody that'll listen to what your problems are. I think all those things are what make a good sister or a good brother. You know, guys are different. I don't know. I shouldn't talk for the guys. But for sisters, I think you can have a really good relationship if you just both stay open to hearing what the other one has to say. Because Veronica and I are very different from each other. I mean, we are certainly two individual personalities, and we think differently about stuff. But I can understand her take on it. I may not always agree with it, but I understand it, and she respects mine, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think sisters can make you evolve and be a better person.
Seems like you're like each other's living scrapbook. It's just like Louisa May Alcott, who said, helping one another is a part of the religion of sisterhood.
Isn't that an interesting statement?
That's nice.
I like that. It is. And I think if you're having a problem with your sister, maybe printing out something like that and sticking it on the mirror might help you realize that you're just damn lucky to have a sister in your life and to try and make the most of it. And sometimes you got to be the one that says, okay, I'm just going to let this go. You know, I don't know why people get so stubborn sometimes. They'll shut out relationships instead of saying, okay, I was wrong. Or, you know what, I don't agree with you, but do you really want to argue about this for the rest of our lives? You know, somebody's got to step down sometimes.
That's true.
And I don't think people do that, and then they miss out on a whole lot of good times.
Is it because big sisters are the crabgrass in the lawn of life?
Oh, I love that.
I love that.
That's hysterical.
I really like that one a lot, Rick. That's going on my mirror. That's great.
Crap, Rick. Oh,
there you go. Very funny.
One of our closing questions for Veronica and Angela are, what are some of the values that you have brought forth from the 1950s to today?
Well, see, I was in high school in the 60s. It was weird because, like, in the early 60s, I was doing, like, the Byrds, and Angela was on the television show. And just before that, I had done the Children's Hour, and we had talked about that last time, about how my mother explained, you know, what the story was about. And we, in a weird sort of way, our parents, my dad stopped, took a leave of absence from his job so that he could be there on the set because it was a controversial kind of movie. I did the movies and Angela did her weekly television show, and it was just what we did. We were together on weekends and stuff like that, but it would never became like a competitive competition thing.
Even Sound of Music, because I did that in 64. Veronica went on that interview. Sure, it would have been great if she'd gotten it and the two of us could have been in it, but, you know, she was off doing her series then. You did Daniel?
No, because what happened was I lost the part to Heather Menzies. And then you guys all went over to Austria, and I went over to Austria, too. And Michael McLean was the casting person on that movie. He says to me, well, I'm sorry you didn't get this, but I have something in mind for you. And while I was over in Austria, I got Daniel Boone's series, and I had to come back. So my dad flew back with me so that I could start that show.
It all happens for some reason.
In a weird sort of way, I did the movies and stuff like that, and Angie did the series, and then she did the movie. We never had any of those moments where I was upset because I didn't get what you got. For one thing, there was like a 3.5-4-year difference, you know, so it wasn't like I could play her part or she could play my part. And she had been on the show for so long that... I guess, if anything, we just sort of were comfortable enough in our own skin, and we never were jealous, which is really, you know, of course, I did make you jump that jump so you would purposely skin your face.
You were the in the crowd.
Jump!
Go, girl.
Listen, we used to play, now this sounds really sick, unemployment. And how many kids do you know, how many people do you know that could do that? I mean, I don't know.
We really didn't have imagination. So,
well, that's what it takes, a little bit of imagination. So to wrap up this Success Made to Last show, what sisterly advice can you give to siblings growing up in the entertainment industry?
Oh, man. Make sure it's what you really want. You need to study, and you need to be really open to rejection. I mean, you have to be able to fall back on something that you enjoy doing, because it can be so hard.
Yeah, it's like art is a great place to be able to express yourself if you are, you know, in acting or if you're in, you know, some kind of creative business. You know, even if it's like just sketching in a sketch pad, I find that art really heals and it really helps to keep those creative juices going. And I think everybody's capable of that. They just sometimes don't know how to tap into it. So if you're working or not.
Or you censor yourself. You have to be careful not to. Like, I used to keep a diary. I mean, which I started doing because it was great while acting to be able to have another outlet. And it was stolen. And it took a really, really long time to get back to the point where you didn't censor yourself because you were afraid somebody was going to go and take your and steal what was yours.
Well, thank you so much. We love you both, appreciate you both, and look forward to doing some future programs with you.
Well, thank you so much for having us on again.
That was Angela Cartwright and Sister Veronica Cartwright. We appreciate them being on. It's rare that we have sisters on this program, and especially sisters that still get along like they do. So we really, truly appreciate them. Hey, we hope that you enjoy this show. As we always say, may you live the best version of you. Have a great week. So thanks to our sponsor, Edward Jones. They are our trusted financial advisor. And Edward Jones has been instrumental in helping us pivot our lives built around health, happiness, travel, and adding value to other people's lives. You can contact our advisor, Serban Marasini, by emailing him at serban.marasine@edwardjones.com. And thanks again to their sponsorship of this program. And thanks to our sponsor, Gracefully Yours Greeting Cards, and their hilarious Church Kitchen Lady cards. Church Kitchen Ladies are a bunch of maybe 20 million volunteers across the United States that work in 300,000 churches, and they say stuff like, mind your own biscuits and life will be gravy. They also say, crunch tacos, not abs. And psst, you're crazy is showing, you might want to tuck that back in. And one of our favorites is, life is short, lick the bowl. If you want to find out more about the wonderful Church Kitchen Ladies and join their roundtable, go to gracefully-yours.com today and find out about Church Kitchen Ladies and purchase all the rest of the fine Gracefully Yours greeting cards.